Welcome to Reformation Platform Ministry. And now, we present to you God's Word, which is able to save your soul. Please listen with your heart as the servant of God brings forth the Word of Life.
This teaching session will begin something, to be the beginning of something permanent. Do you understand? In your relationship with God. I want to appreciate God for Brother Elijah's ministration. And it touched a lot of things for me. That was what I was even looking at. You know, it's actually strange because it made me to look at several things God had told me. Some of them more than 5 years ago. You know, and I could link it directly to what was taught. But what I want you to pray about this morning is that the Lord will begin something new. You understand? In your life and in your walk with God in the name of Jesus Christ. And as we take that prayer, let us pray so that we can go into that which the Lord is saying. Father, help us that as we begin to listen to you, that we will be helped and will be helped indeed. That your word will be able to resonate with us such that what you intend to do and achieve with us will be achievable in the name of Jesus Christ. I want us to ask him that, Lord, please meet with me in the name of Jesus. Help me to come to that point where something new can begin between me and you. You know, when I look at my life now, and I remember over 20 years ago when the Lord began to tell me about this same ministry, it looked impossible. It can't be done. How can this be done? And 20 years down the line, it's not only that it can be done, it's not only that it is being done, but it is forging ahead even more powerfully. And for me, it is shocking because the Lord began to speak further based upon the foundation of the work that has been done about what he wants to do in the body of Christ. And just like I said 20 years ago, that Lord, or you could have used somebody else and insisted that you are the one that will do it. I began to see the same pattern again. And even in the charge this morning, I began to receive the same encouragement that I'm not asking you to come and do anything. I'm the one that will do these things through you. And it's in the same way I want you to pray. Because you don't have an idea what your life is about. You don't even have an idea the kind of great things that are planned for you. I want you to pray. Lord, let it begin. That which you have planned for me, let it begin. Let it begin in Jesus' name. Let it begin. Let it begin. Let your word come like fire. And let these things begin. Let this be a new beginning in my personal relationship with you. In Jesus' name we have prayed.
Amen.
We'll take the song twice. I'm dying, O Lord. And after we take that song, we will begin. I am dying, O Lord.
Consecrate me
to thy service, Lord.
To thy service, Lord.
By the power
of grace divine. When I saw you come with us, precious
Us to raise it as a point of prayer. Draw me nearer, nearer, precious Lord. Even as I am opportune to listen to this word, cause me to draw nearer, even in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' most precious name, we have prayed. I'll take my reading from Matthew 11. What I was told is verse 29, but we will not do justice if we start from verse 29. Because verse 29 is simply the continuation of a statement that had begun from verse 28. So I feel that the proper thing to do is to begin from verse 28. And more than that, because contextually, what was continued in verse 29, you know, is something that has its root in verse 28. Amen. If you are there, you can please read for us.
Come
unto me,
all you who labor,
all of you who labor or who struggle
and are heavy laden,
people that are carrying weights and heavy burdens,
and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn from me. For I am gentle. And lowly in heart. And you will find rest for your soul.
And I can assure you that you will find rest for your soul.
For my yoke is easy.
And
my burden is light.
And the burden that I put on you, it's a very light burden. May the Lord give increase to the reading of his word in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now, I will need to begin to explain this passage little by little before we can come to the verse 29. The first statement there, if you notice, is the word come. Come to me. Did you notice that?
Mm-hmm.
I would like you to look at, you put one finger where you are. Then you look at Hebrews 4, verse 16. Something is also put there that is very, very interesting. Yes, please, you can read if you are there.
Let us therefore
come boldly
to the throne of grace.
That we may obtain mercy. That we may obtain mercy. And find grace to help us.
In time of need.
Amen.
Amen.
In these two passages, there's a common word. Please, what's that common word?
Come.
What is more interesting is that I heard the Lord that he's saying that I should give one more example of the word come. So I will. In Revelation, in the book of Revelation, are we there in the book of Revelation?
Yes.
We will be reading particularly from from chapter 22. Revelation 22. Have we done that?
Yes, sir.
Now, can somebody please read verse 17. This is quite interesting because the word come is used here again, but three times in this verse. And there's something it is pointing to that I would like to make clear to us. Who is reading for us?
And the spirits,
Revelation 22. Please hold on. I want everybody to be there so that you see it. Okay? Revelation 22, verse 17. Do you want to read? Oh, yeah, then Auntie Deborah will read for us again. Oh, yeah?
The Spirit and the Bride say,
come.
Come.
Everyone that hears this should say,
come.
Let everyone who is thirsty come. Let anyone who wants the water of life take it as a gift. Amen. Yes, please.
And the Spirit and the Bride say,
come. Come.
And let him who hears say,
and let the one who hears, let him also say,
come.
Come.
And let him who thirst, come.
Come.
Whoever desires,
let him take the water of life freely. May the Lord give increase to the reading of his word in Jesus' name. Now, this is the word come used five times. Is it not so? While I will still come back to verse 28 to 29 where we started from, it is important that I begin to build up what we are talking about from Revelation 22, that same verse 17. What it says is this. It mentioned the Spirit, and then it mentioned the Bride asking that we should come. Is it not so? Please, who is the Spirit here?
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit. Is it not so? Who is the Bride here? Huh? The Bride here. You don't know. Okay? I know that is a popular assumption. People assume that the Bride of Christ is the church. But in the book of Revelation, which is the revelation of Jesus Christ, the Bride was not referring to the church. Amen. Even though, you know, I just need to show us quickly where I'm going is the word come. But if we have not understood what the Holy Spirit is trying to say to us contextually, we may be in trouble. Okay? As we are trying to read this thing and understand it. Let's go to Revelation 21. That's just a chapter before. Okay? To be able to be able where we'll be able to see the Bride. Hey. Okay. Are we there?
Yes, sir.
I would want us to read from verse 9, and we will stop at verse... I don't know where we'll stop because... Even though verse 9 already told us what the Bride is,
Then from verse 10, a very elaborate description of this bride was given. You understand? And even though that's not what I'm talking about, but for the fact that the bride itself is saying that what?
Come.
I don't know about you, but you see, for me, you remember that we, you know, I said five places now in the New Testament, the word come is mentioned. The first one is mentioned by the Lord Jesus Christ. The second one is mentioned by the Holy Spirit in Hebrews. Okay, through the writings of the Apostle Paul in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews 4, when he said, let us come boldly to the throne. Abi? Then, in the book of Revelation, three more times. That's five times. So, if God will use such word so generously, that tells you. And who is the recipient of this invitation? Who receives this invitation? Who is the person that this invitation is addressed to? That's what I'm saying.
Everybody.
Everyone.
Everyone. Come unto me, all you that labor. Let me ask you, are you laboring? You see, because the first come and I'll give you rest is to give you rest from sin. Do you understand now? That you will not be under the burden and the labor of sin and of sinning. Do you understand? But in verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, because you will find rest for your soul. It's addressing something else. That's why I said that I will come back. You understand? But I needed to show us, if the Holy Spirit himself is inviting you to come, will he not enable you to come? Now, what is very, very significant for me is the fact that the Holy Spirit, also in the book of Revelation, said what to come. Then the bride is now also saying what? Come. So let us read from verse 9, Revelation 21, verse 9. First, that's the first one that we'll read. Then if we have the time, we'll be able to read down.
Then one of the seven angels.
Then one of the seven angels.
Who have the seven bowls.
Who have the seven bowls.
Filled with the seven last plagues.
Filled with the seven last plagues.
Came to me.
Came to me.
And talked with me.
And he talked with me.
Saying.
And this is what he said.
Come.
Come.
I will show you.
Can you see this same come again? Is somebody following me? Can you see the same word? Come again. Come. And if you come, what will happen?
I will show you the bride.
I'm going to show you something. What I'm going to show to you is the bride.
The Lamb's wife.
The bride of the Lamb. I don't know. I don't know. Which translation are you reading from?
NKJV.
Okay. And what did NKJV say?
It says, come.
Come.
I will show you the bride.
I will show you the bride.
The Lamb's wife.
The Lamb's wife. So, it's his first called word to bride. And normally, you know, I said that the church is always assumed to be the bride of Christ. Is it not so? But the church is not the bride of Christ. It's just an allusion. Do you understand? Like when you are trying to explain something. The church will be in the bride of the Lamb. Yes?
And he carried me away.
And he carried me away in the spirit. So that I can come and see this bride.
To a great and high mountain.
To a great and high mountain.
And showed me the great city.
And he showed me the great city.
The holy Jerusalem.
The holy and the new Jerusalem.
Descending out of heaven.
Descending out of heaven.
From God.
From God.
Having the glory of God.
Having the glory of God.
Her light was like a most precious stone.
Yes.
Like a jasper stone.
Yes.
Clear as crystal.
Yes.
Also, she had a great and high wall.
Yes.
With 12 gates.
Yes.
And 12 angels.
Yes.
At the gates.
Yes.
And names written on them.
Yes.
Which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel.
Yes.
Three gates on the east.
Yes.
Three gates on the north.
Yes.
Three gates on the south.
Yes.
Three gates on the west.
Yes.
Now the wall of the city had 12 foundations. And on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And you who talked with me had a gold reed to measure the city, its gates, and its walls, and its wall. The city is laid out as a square. Its length is as great as its breadth. And he measured the city and the reed. He measured the city with the reed. 12,000 furlongs.
1,374 miles long.
Its length.
That's the length of the city.
Breadth.
And that's its breadth and that is its height.
Are equal.
They are all equal. Yeah. I need you to know, I'm sorry, that is larger than the size of the country called China. Amen. That dimension is larger than the landmass of China. Which country has the largest? I think it's China. Then is it China or Russia? It's one of the two of them. You know, Russia. That is larger than the size of Russia. Are those not the people that have the most people on earth? That one city is larger than that size. Yes?
Now, the wall of the city.
Okay. Yes.
Then he measured its wall.
Yes.
144 cubits.
Yes.
According to the measure of the man.
The wall, that's the fence of the city, is over 250, it's actually 252 feet high. Yes. That's the size of, that's the height of the wall. Do you know why I'm having you read all of this? Did the bride say that you should come? Is somebody following me? Are you following me? You know, people normally pray, oh God, please help me to make heaven. Is that not how people pray? What is that? Okay. What or who is the bride of the Lamb now from what we have read?
The New Jerusalem.
We saw it there. The angel said, come, let me show you the Lamb's bride. Abby? And he carried me away in the spirit and he took me to see the New Jerusalem. So when Bible says that, the bride is also saying come. Who is saying come? Yes, Jesus is saying come. But the bride, you know, Jesus is not the bride. That city is beckoning you. That's what I'm trying to show you. So all what I'm just doing here, trying to show you the description, I'm just describing for you a place that desires that you will dwell in it forever.
That I'm not struggling to enter.
Eh? A place, you know, even though people are afraid, oh God, if I can only just make it, if I can just make it. Eh? The Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, and the bride, the holy city, the New Jerusalem. Both of them are saying what to? Come. This is meant for you. But where does the journey start? We have to go back to Matthew 11. We are not yet done, though, because I want you to finish reading the description. You know, the journey starts at Matthew 11, 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and a heavy laden. That's where it starts from. And you know, like I said, Matthew 11, 29 that's the scripture I was given to minister on. Okay? Please let us go on. Verse, what are you now? 17 now. Yes, 17 now. So you are reading from verse 18 now.
The construction of its wall was of jasper.
This wall was made of a jasper stone. Jasper stone is one of the precious stones like diamond. Do you understand? Okay, so these 252 feet high, what is it to?
Jasper.
They've not talked about the foundation stone. No? there's foundation stone that was laid for the fence. Remember that the fence is a square. Do you remember that? So 1,000, what was that, sir? 1,374 miles long foundation stone before they now put jasper on it. We will see later here. The foundation stones themselves are precious stones. 12 different types of precious stones. And that city is beckoning to you. Says what to come. That's why, if you remember when we wanted to start, I asked us to pray. Who remember that I asked us to pray? And I was saying that, Lord, let this be the beginning of something new in my life. Listen, where you have been encouraged to come, that's a different thing compared to if you were struggling to come by yourself. Do you understand? And then they are saying, jump cutoff mark is 500. If you don't have 500, you can't enter. This one, there's no cutoff mark. Yet, there are standards of who will enter there so that it's open for everybody. No. But it is on a personal invitation. I'm talking some of the last things. And if you notice very, very well, this is the last book of the Bible. Is it not so? The invitation originally where we are coming from is the first book of the New Testament, Matthew. Is it not so? So from the very beginning, even what God is saying is come. I know you are carrying a body. I know it has been difficult. I know you may even think that there is no way out. I know it may look to you as if, can I ever make it? If God is not intending that you will end, he will not ask you to begin. Amen. Amen. God is not like that. Please, you are still describing this city. You are still in verse 18.
Construction of its wall was of jasper.
Yes.
And the city was pure gold.
The city itself. The city itself.
Was pure gold. Like clear glass.
You know, Dubai that everybody is making noise about. When Dubai sees New Jerusalem, Dubai will flee away to go and hide in shame. Please, is Dubai constructed with sand, cement, and metal, right or wrong?
Yes.
In this city, everything must be the best of the best of everything. I know how the whole world make noise about Dubai. And that's why Dubai has never caught my fancy. Because something bigger, something better had caught it. The New Jerusalem. The city of God. The city whose foundation and maker is God himself. Whose architect is God, according to Hebrews 11. Is that verse 13? No, verse. Whose maker and builder is God? Is it that verse 15 or verse 16? It's one of the two of them. Hebrews 11, 15 or 16. Yes,
verse 15.
Verse 15. Can you just read it quickly? I'm not teaching it. I've just touched it briefly. Yes.
And truly, if they are mindful of that country from whence they came out,
yes,
they might have had opportunity to have returned.
That's 15.
Yes.
But now 16. Now.
Desire a better country.
Yes.
That is
unheavenly. Yes.
Heavenly.
Yes.
Where God is not ashamed
to be called their God. Yes.
For he has prepared for them a city.
Yes. Look at verse 13. It will say, whose maker and builder. When we're talking about Abraham was looking for a city that had foundation.
Verse 10.
That's verse 10. Thank you.
For he looked for a city.
Which had foundations.
Whose builder.
And maker is God.
If you read from a modern translation, you will see whose architect is God. That city is beckoning you to say what to come. I didn't just ask you to come into the church. The church will be a part of the bride, because the church will live in the bride. That is, the church will live in the city. You remember that there's going to be this one also. I'm not explaining it. I just want to touch it briefly. The part that says, the marriage supper of the Lamb. See, because his bride had made itself ready. People think that marriage supper of the Lamb, that means that Christ will be marrying the church. No. It actually means that the church and Christ will now be living in the city. That's what it's talking about. And that's why it says that blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Blessed are they. For the one is so no more. Amen. And not only that, they will be among the rulers forever and ever. You remember that when we started today, I was thanking God for the eternal future. These are the things I'm talking about. Yes, please.
Verse 19 now.
Yes.
The foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with all kinds of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper. The second, sapphire. The third, chalcedony. The fourth, emerald. The fifth, sardonyx. The sixth, sardius.
Yes.
The seventh, chrysolite.
Yeah.
The eighth, beryl.
Yes.
The ninth, topaz. The tenth, chrysopras. The 11th, jacinth. And the 12th, amethyst. The 12 gates were 12 pairs. Each individual gate was of one pair.
So imagine a pearl. Who knows pearl stone? P-E-A-R-L.
Pearl.
Yeah. You said? Yes. That is the gate. Of course, it's as high as the wall. It's over 250 feet. And each gate is a pair because it will open. And then when it closes also. That's when it closes, that's one gate. So ideally, that's supposed to be 24 gates, is it not so? But 12 pairs.
Yeah.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Pairs, that's two. Everything is precious too. Can Dubai compare with this one that we're describing? Later you will see that even the ground is starred with gold. I think
in the streets.
Yes. Oh, is that the next thing?
Yes.
Okay.
The 12 gates were 12 pairs.
Yes.
Each individual gate was of one pair. And the street of the city was pure gold.
The street of the city was pure gold.
Like transparent glass.
Just like the mansions in the city. Like transparent glass. You know, in the system, in this world, gold is graded according to the carat. So you say 32 carat, 64 carat. I can't remember the larger the carat, that's how pure it is. This city is talking about the purity, the level of the purity of the gold. This city, its purity and the value of its gold has no carat. Because it just scale me. You can't scale it. It's not that they manage to use something here and then they use something in future. That city says come. Is God talking to somebody here? This was what I saw. And I told myself, I must make it inside. This is not even about struggling. I have an invitation card. I have what?
An invitation
card. Please, let's wrap up quickly so that I can go back to, because I'm not touching yet what I want to touch. I just want to show you how many times we're encouraged to come. Yes? That's verse what?
21.
And that's the last?
Yes.
Okay. Amen.
Although, okay, that's light and everything.
You have not described the whole thing finished now, because I kept saying it. You said that's everything.
But I saw no temple in it.
Yes.
For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are his temple.
Mm.
The city had no need of the sun or the moon to shine.
Mm.
In it, to shine in it for glory, for the glory of God illuminated it.
In this city, somewhere, I can't remember now whether it is in Isaiah or here in Revelation, there's a verse that says, and there is no night there. It will be a perpetual day. There's no darkness there. There's no electricity there. Because God Almighty and the Lord Jesus, they are its light. So it's always day in that city. Yes?
The lamp is its light.
Mm.
And the nations of those who are saved shall yes. walk in its light.
Yes.
And the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it.
Yes.
Its gates shall not be shut.
Yes.
All by day there shall be no night there.
Yes.
And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it.
Yes.
But there shall by no means but there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles.
Now, can you see this?
Mm.
They shall by no means. I don't know. How do you explain that in Yoruba? By no means.
Long not coming.
Anything that defiles.
They shall by no means enter it anything that defiles.
Anything that defiles.
Or causes an abomination.
Or causes an abomination. Anything that is detestable. Or anyone who acts or tell lies.
But only those who are written in the Lamb's book.
It is only those who are written, whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life that will enter into it. How do we get our names written in the Lamb's book of life? Abi, we should know. In the book of John. Chapter 5 and verse number 24. Can you read it for me? What is there? Particularly if you have Amplified Bible, not Classic.
Verse
25. Yes, verse 24. I didn't say verse 25. I said John 5, verse 24.
I assured you.
Yes.
And most solemnly I say to you. The person who hears my word.
The person who hears my word.
That is the one who heeds my message. And believes. And trust in him.
That is the Father who sent me.
He has possessed now. Eternal life. That is.
Eternal life
actually begins. The believer is transformed.
The believer is transformed.
And does not come into judgment.
And it does not come into condemnation. It doesn't come into judgment and condemnation.
But has now passed over. From death into life.
And so you understand it now. In 1 John 2:25, it says, and this is the promise that he has promised us. Even eternal life. That's the promise that he has promised us. Eternal life.
This is the promise which he himself promised us.
Yes.
Eternal life.
Yes. That's the promise that he promised us. I'm trying to look for a verse
And I'll find it now. Yes, I have found it. So that if your name is in the book of life, you know from the very beginning. And if it's not there, you also know. In 1 John 5, verse 11 to 12. 1 John 5, verse 11 to 12. What does it say?
And the testimony is this.
The testimony is this.
God has given us eternal life.
God has given us eternal life. I've already shown you that eternal life from John 5, 24. Is it not so?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
That is, we already possess it.
We already possess this eternal life.
11, sir.
Yes.
And this life is in his son.
This life, this eternal life, where do we find it?
In his son.
It is in Jesus.
Resulting in our spiritual completeness.
Yes.
And eternal companionship with him.
Yes.
He who has the son.
So if you have Jesus,
accepting him as Lord and Savior.
If you have accepted him as Lord and your Savior,
as the life,
you have this eternal life.
That is the eternal life.
Yes.
He who does not have a son.
The one who does not have Jesus.
By personal faith. Does not have the life.
Does not have this eternal life. So you see how people's name are in the book of life now. It is those who have the son who have the life. And if you belong to the son, he has a book where he writes down everybody that belongs to him. So he said, come. So now I'm returning back to Matthew. Come, all you that labor and are heavy laden, what will I do? I will give you rest. I will deliver you from sin. But the mistake the church has made is this. We have thought that once I'm saved, that's all. Imagine somebody who is coming into Nigeria, maybe from Benin Republic, and he enters the border, Aseme border. Then he says he's in Nigeria. He's right, he's just not completely right. Is he in Nigeria? Yes. But how much of Nigeria has he explored? No, he hasn't explored anything. In fact, he's by the door. And he can easily go back also if he doesn't want to go again. And that is the fearful thing in this life, in this spiritual life. Do you understand? If you do not make progress, what will happen? You will go back. That's why Jesus said, come. Yes, I've given you rest from sin. Now come and learn. He said, come and take my yoke upon you so that you can learn of me. You may wonder, why is it important that I must take his yoke upon me? An animal that is yoked, is it free to go anywhere it wants to go? No. No. If an animal is yoked with another animal, what will happen now? And you know the way they normally do it, the young animal will be yoked with an older animal, a more experienced animal, so that the young animal will understand how to do this work together. So when you are yoked with Jesus Christ, when you are joined to him, what he's saying is, I'm bringing you into close proximity. I'm bringing you into an intimate relationship. A relationship that is called discipleship between you and Jesus, where you are learning of him, where you are learning of his life. You see, we human beings that are supposed to be called to be under disciples with the Lord, we are not the ones to disciple you. It is Jesus that will disciple you himself. You understand it now? But our own is just to be helpers of your joy. Because you are younger, you may think it is impossible to live this life. And it's not impossible. You understand? Our own work is to show you the possibility of this life. Amen. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. see what will happen if you will take his yoke and learn of him. He said, because I'm meek and lowly in heart. What this means is this. Because I'm meek and lowly in heart, I'm not so high that you can't reach me. Do you get the idea now? And I'm not so high that I cannot descend to your level to help you. Amen. He said, and you shall find rest for your soul. Can you see that this is not rest from sin now? Eh? But this one deals with what to your very soul, your spirit. It's possible to have rest. Amen. It's possible. Bible says, casting all your cares upon him, because he cares for you. All, not some. Not only the ones you can't carry. As long as it's a care, as long as it's an anxiety, as long as it's a worry, as long as it's something that burdens you, as it is something that bothers you, cast it upon him. Because he cares for you. Now, he said, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Don't think that you are going to be yoked to me. Don't think that it is very difficult. No. What makes the yoke easy is that I'm the one, it is my yoke. I'm only asking you to come and be yoked with me. That's all. It is because I will help you. Do not let Satan deceive you. Do not let Satan make you look as if this life is impossible. It's a lie. It's possible. This life can be lived. All the help you need, it is in Jesus Christ. And all the help that you need is in the Holy Spirit. And as you follow Jesus, and as you learn to walk like Jesus, as you learn to allow Jesus to live inside of you, the Holy Spirit will enlarge things in your heart. The Holy Spirit, it will magnify matters in your life. Do you understand? And that is why he said, I'm back again in Revelation 22. And that's why he says, the Spirit and the bride says, come. Let everyone who hears say, come. And let everyone who is thirsty, come. Let everyone who wants the water of life take it freely as a gift. Please, do you understand? This is the matter. It is your choice to come. He's not asking you to come if you are full. Do you understand? He's not asking you to come if you are full. No. If you are thirsty, even if you don't know your way, you just do what? Come. Me, I know the way. Me, I'm not confused. You just come. It is when we respond to that invitation, that's when a relationship with God really starts. That's what most people don't understand. They think, okay, I'm born again. As long as I'm now going to church, it's more than going to church or going to fellowship. But it begins when you take the first steps and you are now yoked to him. You are now learning of him. You are learning the kind of life that he lived, so that as he's now living inside of you, you can recognize that who is living inside of you now? Jesus. You can now begin to understand that God is not asking you to do anything. He's only asking you to allow Christ to live in you. And if Christ lives in you and uses your life, when he's done with his work, will he abandon you? No, he will take you home. I And as we are going to pray, because I was given just 1 hour, and I have 5 minutes left. Amen. As we are going to pray, I want us to remember Hebrews 4:16 that says, "Let us come boldly to the throne of grace, where we will obtain mercy and find grace to help us in every time of need." I want us to come to that throne today. And the word boldly is very, very interesting, because the word boldly means the freedom and confidence to speak all that is in your heart exactly how you want to say it. That's what it means. So, as we are going to be praying, I'm trusting in response to the demand of the Lord Jesus that you should come. Come. And receive this invitation as his disciple. You see, before any human being can disciple you, Jesus must have started discipling you. There's no other way. So if a man is attempting to disciple you, it is because the Lord Jesus has now done what? Accepted you as his own disciple, where you are learning of him. So I want us to come this afternoon to the Lord and say to him, "Lord, I have come." I don't know if we have that song, that hymn song, "Just As I Am." That's the song. "Just As I Am." That is the song. We are going to take this song prayerfully, and as we stand up, and this is where we are going to pray. And I will beg you, please pray through. Do you understand? Please pray through. And the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. "Just as I am, without one plea." So I don't know who will be reading for us. You just be reading each line. "Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come.
Just as I am, though tossed about.
Just as I am, though tossed about.
With
many a conflict, many
parties and fears within.
Fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come.
Just as I am, poor wretched blind.
Just as I am, poor wretched blind.
Such
riches healing of the mind.
Yea,
all I need in thee to find, O Lamb of God, I come.
Just as I am, thou wilt receive.
Just as sin, wilt welcome pardon, cleanse, relieve,
because
thy promise I
believe.
O Lamb of God, I come. I come. I want us to tell him, Lord, I respond to you today. I am coming. I have come. I have come, Lord. Not only to be saved from sin, but I've come to enroll in discipleship under you, Lord Jesus. I want to begin to follow you. I want you to begin to lead my life. I want you to be my Lord and my Master. I want you to be my discipler. And then whoever you choose, if you want to put me under a man, I will know that you're putting me under a man doesn't mean that I'm no longer your disciple. But it's a further help that beyond having the Lord as the one who disciples me, there are other human beings who can be my helpers to enter into this joy that God has planned for my life. You are the one that invited me that I should come. Beyond all my efforts, beyond whatever I could have done, beyond whatever I could have achieved, you are the one who told me, come, you just come. Lord, I'm coming. Lord, I come to you. Let my heart be changed, renewed,
flowing from the grace,
yes,
that I found in you.
Yes, Lord. Makutashi garababa yadaze.
Lord, I've come to know weaknesses I see in me will be stripped away by the power of your love. Hold me close.
Before I pray for you, that invitation is still open. Come, so that you can learn of me. come and take my yoke upon you. If you will accept this invitation, all I want you to do is just raise your hand. People used to think that altar call is necessarily come and be born again. That's a list of altar calls. Because God will never force us to do anything. Remember, He has given 5 invitations. First one is to be saved from sin, which I know you have done before now. The second one is that you should come and take His yoke upon you so that He can disciple you, so that you can find rest for your soul. The third one says, come, let us come boldly to the throne of grace, where we can come to talk to God at any time, anywhere. And then the fourth and the fifth one says, just come. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Come into this new Jerusalem. Are you thirsty? Come. You don't need to be full. You only need to be thirsty. And if you come, you will be given access to the living waters, so that there will be refreshment for your soul. I want you to raise your hand if you are accepting this invitation to come. And then I'll pray with you briefly, and then that will be it. Lord, see our hands are raised to you. As our hands are individual to us, Lord, pick us up individually.
Amen.
Amen. When you are holding us by the hand, you will also place us in our placement in destiny and in the plan and purpose of God for our lives. Oh yeah, Baba, put us where we are supposed to be.
Amen.
Put us where we are supposed to flourish.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And as your disciples, teach us how to follow you.
Amen.
Teach us how to walk with you.
Amen. Amen.
Teach us how to be disciples indeed.
Amen.
Even to the praise of your name.
Amen.
Thank you, because this we know that you have done.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, because you begin to make demands upon us. You begin to train us. You begin to teach us from henceforth. All glory and all honor to your holy name.
Amen.
For in Jesus' name we have prayed.
Amen.
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 May the Lord bless you.
Having listened to the undiluted word of God, we implore you to respond to this message. Remember, it is what you do with what you hear that brings about a transformation. For further inquiries or counsel, please contact us on 0814-0399-782, 0818-7282-363. 0803-3483-058, or visit our website at www.reformationplatform.com. God bless you.